Morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. We've been doing a series in 2 Timothy 3, and I thought we were done with that, but turns out we're not. So I want to do another message, and I'll tell you the reason about that in just a moment. Before we get into the message, I do want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet, and we're always thankful for people that do that. We've been having a great response through the internet, and there's a couple of things I wanted to mention. I talked with somebody yesterday that listens to us via the internet, and he said, you know, I have questions, and I always intend to call you or drop you a line, and I just forget to. And I did want to mention to you that if you have questions or things you would like for me to cover, we'd be glad to hear from you. Our email is there on the website. If you're listening, you're on the website now because that's where it's broadcast. And on the website, there is a link to my email address. If you've got questions, you can send me any question you have. If you've got any complaints, you send those to Billy. His email is on there also. And so you can see, Billy handles the complaint department, and I handle the question department. And so if you would like to send us an email, we would love to hear from you, even if you don't have a question. There are some people that I hear from almost weekly, and it's always good to hear from them. They're part of our congregation here. They don't have a church home of their own, and so I love hearing from them. For those of you that attend here locally, but you're not here today, I know that when people are not here, they say quite frequently that they listen over the internet, and I did want to mention to you that next Sunday, to all of you that are on the internet, next Sunday, be sure to tune in at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have two services next week, and we're going to broadcast both of them. Brother Jerry Lockhart will be preaching as well as myself, and then we'll be having a covered dish dinner. If you're a local person watching today, you can't participate in the dinner over the internet. You're going to have to be here. And so if you're local and are watching today, I hope that you'll be here next Sunday morning in person. Bring some type of covered dish and vegetable salad or dessert, and we'll furnish the chicken, and we'll have a great time together. We're going to have some folks from out of town, and we're looking forward to the time of fellowship next Sunday. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've been talking about the importance of the Scripture. And it dawned on me this week as I was thinking about what message I would bring this morning, and generally I study throughout the week, and somebody asked me one time, said, why don't you ever post ahead of time what you're going to be preaching on? And I said, well, generally the reason is I don't know. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. When we do a series, obviously, I may know what I'm going to teach on, and even that changes depending on if we have new visitors come in and that kind of thing. You always have to adapt the message to the crowd. And so I don't always know. But anyway, I was reading over these verses again this week. And the first word of verse 17 in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is really what will drive this message today. And that word is that. You see, in verse 16, Paul, writing to Timothy, the young preacher, said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Now, we talked about the doctrine, we talked about the reproof, we talked about the correction, and we talked about instruction in righteousness. We brought an individual message on each one of those. But folks, there's a reason. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says that. In other words, the reason the Scripture was given was so that we would have doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness, and reproof. But what do we do with all of that? Those were given that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And sometimes people want to just look at the doctrine side of it without really thinking about the practical application of why we have it. Now, obviously, as I said, this is particularly important in relation to somebody that's ministering the Word of God. It says that the man of God may be perfect. That does not say sinless. There's a difference. That the man of God might be perfect, and I believe that simply means that the man of God has everything that he needs to conduct the ministry. He's perfect, and he is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is, through it, he has everything that is needed to do the good works. Now, I know that whenever you start talking about good works, immediately the hair on the back of the neck of many grace believers just stands up. Because they don't like to hear about works. Well, Paul has a lot to say about good works. And I want to talk about how this information that we have by the Word of God is used in reference to those good works. All that we have is for a purpose. It's like if you walked into a person's workshop and you see there in that workshop all of these tools, and that person has everything they need to carry out the job, the tools are there that they might accomplish something. I always think of the story I've shared with you before, but I always hope that at least there's one person listening that's never heard it. But I remember a story about a man who had this workshop, and his friend came over to his house and asked him, he said, could I borrow one of your tools? And so he said, yes. And so the friend borrowed the tool, and about 2 weeks later he came back, and the gentleman there that owned the workshop, he said, you ever been in my workshop? He said, no, I'd love to see it. And so the friend went in there and he began to look around. And he was just amazed at the tools that were there. He said, man, you must make all kind of wood furniture and goods here. He said, nope, I don't make any furniture. He said, do you make anything out of wood? He said, nope. He said, well, you must make an awful lot of repairs on stuff because you've got every kind of tool needed for that. He said, nope, I don't make any repairs. He said, well, heaven's out, what in the world do you make? And he said, friends. You see, he had all the tools that he needed, but all he made was friends. Well, now, in some ways, that might be an apocryphal story, but I'll tell you, you're not going to make a whole lot of friends when you use the Word of God as God desires for you to use it. But it does have a purpose. And the purpose of the Word of God is that the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I want you to notice that the works there is plural. All good works. Go back, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I was listening to a man the other day on the internet, and this man made the statement that the only good work in the dispensation of grace was the preaching of the cross. And so I thought about that a moment, and I thought, well, that is certainly the foundational truth of all that we do, and that is a good work, and that is the most important work, is to preach the good news of the cross of Christ, the gospel of Christ. But this person that made that statement was teaching in a home Bible study, and I was listening to it on the internet, and I got to thinking about that home that person was teaching in, that family opens that home for that Bible study every week, as does Rhoda and Dave for our Bible study in Kentucky. Well, you know what? I'm going to kind of embarrass Rhoda here a little bit. But you know what Rhoda's first thought is when we say we're not going to be having Bible study this week? I won't have to clean on Thursday. I won't have to cook on Thursday. Folks, people that host a Bible study in their home, that's work. That man that made that statement drives a distance to that place. And if he's like me, when I go to get gas, when I go to Kentucky, and I fill up the car, when I go to pay for it, the attendant does not say, well, you're going to Bible study. You just go ahead and don't worry about paying. No, it's $52.95 or whatever the bill is. Somebody paid for the gas. You see where I'm going, folks? There's a lot of work involved in the ministry of the body of Christ besides just the individual standing up and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, notice, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, it's not just the pastors and teachers that perfect the saints, but the saints then do the work of the ministry and help to edify the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look here in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now notice, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, that's the body of Christ, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and notice the next three words, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The works that we are to do were so important that God foreordained that they be done before we ever got saved. As a matter of fact, he foreordained it before we ever were born. You see, folks, Brother Jerry was talking about last Sunday morning, and our clock here cut him short a little bit. He was talking about the purpose of all this. What is the purpose of all that we are involved in and what we do and even our salvation? Well, today in the dispensation of the grace of God, God is not supernaturally speaking to people apart from his word. God is not dealing through prophets and apostles like he did in the Old Testament and giving them individual revelations. God is not have us offering sacrifices or keeping the law. But God is working today. How is he working? He's working through the church, the members of the body of Christ. God has foreordained that his purpose would be accomplished today in this dispensation by the body of Christ using the Word of God rightly divided. And the problem today is so much of the church is involved in doing works that were never foreordained. They're works that glorify the flesh. They're works that build up numbers and draw attention to men and people and so forth. But listen, folks, we have the completed, pure, perfect Word of God, and we're to use that for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and so forth. I listened to a clip off of Facebook this week from Joel Osteen and his wife. Joel says that the apostles and Paul didn't really know what they were talking about, that they were mistaken in much of what they said, and that so he began to tell the real truth. What the real truth was. Think about that. Man got about 25,000 people that attend that auditorium out there, and he stands up and tells people that the apostles and the apostle Paul didn't know what they were talking about. They made mistakes in their teachings. Well, you see, there's the danger of extra-biblical revelation. God's shown him something apart from the Word of God that's more modern and more up-to-date. Well, that is just ludicrous. I mean, it's stupidity. But you know what? You got thousands and thousands of people that believe that and swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. By his wife, by the way, his wife said in a clip that's all by her that you don't serve God for you, for him. You do it for yourself. You do it for yourself. Well, you know what? She's right about her and her husband. She's right. Why is it that we serve the Lord? Is it for self-gratification, to exalt ourselves? Or is it because we have some instruction from the Word of God that tells us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, and so forth, and we do it regardless of whether we see fantastic and noticeable results, or we just walk by faith, not by sight? The work of the ministry. He hath we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I remember years ago I was at a Bible conference with Brother Richard Jordan, and one of the things he said has always stuck out in my memory was he said, you know, people in the grace message, we get all wrapped up in things not going well and the lack of growth and so forth. He said, you know what people need to do? You need to find out what God's doing today and get involved in that. Don't worry about what religion's doing. Don't worry about what somebody else. Find out what God's doing today. You know what God's doing today? God is saving people on the basis of the gospel of Christ. Then get involved in proclaiming that. God is establishing people through the Word of God, rightly divided. Get involved in that. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in two good works. And the work that God is accomplishing today, he's accomplishing through the body of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, God has very clearly laid out in his word how he is accomplishing his purpose today. The problem is, people don't want to follow it. People think they've got a better idea. You know, that's what back in the early 70s, mid-70s, when the what I call the bus movement sprung up among the independent fundamentalists. You know what happened with all that? There wasn't the growth in the churches that they thought there should be. And so they start, you know, they're like over there, I think about it in the a book of Acts where Paul's on the ship and it's about to go down and he's telling them what they need to do. And it says the people that are on the ship, they used helps rather than adhering to the word of Paul. Well, people thought they had to do giveaway programs and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? Most of those churches that grew and flourished, you know where most are today? They're right back down about where they started. You know why? Because the power, folks, is in the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's work to be done. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And when we, like Vince was talking about this morning, what hinders that is when we get it in the flesh and we allow the flesh to become more important than the work of the Spirit in our life, and we do the things that we want to do rather than that which God has told us to do. What is this work? Look back in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is going to go down to Jerusalem. He's been warned not to go. Wasn't warned not to go. He's warned what would happen if he did go. He said, the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But notice what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Notice now the next three words, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had received a ministry. There was work involved in that ministry. There was suffering involved in that ministry. But Paul said, I'm not going to count my life dear to myself, because if I do, I'm not going to finish my course with joy. He may have finished his course, but it wasn't going to be with joy. The joy was going to be in obeying and doing what God had told him to do. And that was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was focused on what he was going to do. He was determined about that. And listen, folks, there was some work involved. You don't believe there was some work involved back then? I mean, he didn't jump in a car, an air-conditioned automobile, and drive down to Jerusalem. There was work. It's called the work of the ministry. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Then Paul had a ministry. You've got a ministry. You've got a course. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished what? My course. That course involves some work. It involves some labor. It involves some dedication. He says, we have renounced, verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The purpose, the course, the ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The hindrance was the God of this world. And the God of this world used individuals to try to stop Paul from doing what he was doing. There was times when Paul was discouraged. There was times when he was despondent in his flesh. Our flesh will try to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. The older you get, the more your flesh, or I shouldn't say the more, the less your flesh wants to do. But regardless of that, we have a ministry. Notice what he says in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's equipped us, folks. He's given us what we need for the work of the ministry. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You've got a ministry. What is it? To get people to quit doing bad things? No. If that's what you believe your ministry is, I got news for you. You're wasting your time. Because people can always do bad things. I mean, I grew up in a religious system that it was all about do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. And it didn't work. But yet that's what many people believe their job is to get people to quit doing this and start doing this and quit here. Here's the ministry. He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made the righteous of God in him. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. It's us that's received that. Notice in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul, as he concludes this letter to the church at Colossae, he says, And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Are you fulfilling the ministry that you've received of the Lord? Are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you like that soldier that Paul says a good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life? You see, folks, our flesh is pretty strong, and it'll cause us to do some really terrible things. Which is flesh is flesh. And Vince covered that well this morning. I was mentioning these things Thursday night in Bible study. You know, when you read through the Bible, there's not a whole lot good said about flesh. Paul calls it filthy, the filthiness of the flesh. He says he's going to change our vile body that might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Our flesh is always going to be contrary to the Spirit. And particularly when it comes to doing the work of the ministry. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. By the way, when Vince said that about me always turning to the wrong verses, I don't know what he's talking about. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, then, a person can either be profitable for the ministry or they can be unprofitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Well, are we profitable by allowing the Word of God to work through us and in us and to do the work of the ministry? You see, there's work involved, folks. It's called labor. There used to be a person that attended here, and they many times made the statement that we put way too much emphasis on taking care of the building and that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? If you're going to meet together, you're going to have a place to meet. And Brother Jerry and Barbara went out there to Texas. They rented. They met in a little building. Eventually, they were able to build a building, and there was great things done. And many people saved. Many people came but you know what? There was some work that was involved with that. Some men that gave of their time and their labor and their efforts to build that. They weren't building it for self-prestige. Come on, there's work that needs to be done. There's work that makes it possible the work of the ministry. The preaching of the Word of God. You see, we didn't just end up with a website because Billy ran his hand over the computer and said, now let there be understandingyourbible.com. There was hours of work put into that. We don't broadcast these services because one day I said, let there be video. And there was video. No. We bought a camera. Well, why did we buy the camera? Because there was some work. People, you know what that work was? It was the work of giving to the ministry. People paid for that camera. This church pays for the internet. So, listen, folks. There's a ministry of giving. There's a ministry of working. And it's not just the preacher when we talk about the work of the ministry. It's the Word of God working in individuals, the body of Christ, functioning together. I know people, you know, they want to give the preacher the credit and the pat on the back. Well, listen, the preacher's just the mouthpiece of what happens through the ministry of those that support the work. The work of the ministry. Why is it important? Well, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's important, number one, because it's the work of the Lord. It's the Lord's work. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, I kid about that a lot, and maybe too much, but sometimes people ask me what I've been doing, and if I've been doing something, you know, pertaining to study or maybe visiting the hospital or whatever, and I said, well, I've been doing the Lord's work today. But come on, folks. It ought all be the Lord's work. When you get up and go to a job in the morning, you know what? You got a verse of Scripture that says that's what you ought to be doing. You ought to labor with your own hands. Man, it doesn't work, neither should you eat. When you receive a paycheck, you've got a decision to make about that paycheck. Are you going to use part of it for the work of the ministry? Are you going to just use it all for yourself? Maybe you can't afford to give it to the church. I'm not getting up here preaching about tithing or anything like that. Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. But I'm talking about all these things are part of the work of the ministry. And we're to do it because it is the work of the Lord. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 10. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Look down in verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, which is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth me, helpeth us, and what? Laboreth. There were people that labored with the Apostle Paul. Many of them you probably never saw their name in the Scriptures. But throughout Paul's ministry, there were those that labored and worked in order to get the word out, and the book has been preserved unto this day so that we too might be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. It's the work of the Lord, and it's to be a work of faith. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know, one of the things that really jumped out at me as a young man when I began to listen to Brother Moore preach. And there was always this attitude back in that day, mid-70s, around there, that Brother Moore was a little too hard on people and a little too mean. And I heard people say, well, you know, he just needs to have a different demeanor when he preaches. Well, Brother Moore kind of realized that. Well, the last conversation I ever had with him, sitting back here in the fellowship hall, he made the statement. He said, I wish I'd have been nicer. We were talking about his ministry. And I said, Brother Moore, when you were preaching and starting out, nice wouldn't have cut it. And I always remembered when people would make those statements to me, what Paul asked, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Brother Moore did what he did. He gave his life to preach the Word of God, not for self-gratification, but because he loved people. He loved the Word of God. And that didn't always come through when he was telling people they weren't worth the gunpowder he'd take to blow them into hell, but he loved people. I know he did. No man would do what he did without love. It was a labor of love. It was a work of faith and a labor of love. And if you love people, you'll tell those people the truth. You'll make a way to tell them the truth. You can't force them to receive it. You can't force them to believe it. But you can make known unto them the truth of God's grace and His love and His mercy and the gospel of Christ. It's the work of the Lord. It's a work of faith. It's this work. Think about it. It's through that work that you are a child of God today. Because somebody preached to you the Word of God. Somebody preached to you the truth of the gospel. If you didn't, you wouldn't have got saved. Now that person might not have rightly divided the word and so forth, but the salvation of saints is a result of the labor and the work of the ministry. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians 2, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Well, look in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which He hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said that God, even our Father, has loved us. And he says, may He comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and good work. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we started out, I want you to notice what Paul says there in closing. In verse 15, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, there is a that that is attached to all that God gave us His Word for. He gave us His Word for inspiration. He gave it by inspiration, and He gave it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But if you just stop there, it's not enough. He gave us all of that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, when you look back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, there's a lot of people that look at that verse, and when they read, study to show thyself approved unto God, they basically stop there because they think that's really all that's important. As long as we know the truth, as long as we know right and right. Well, that's not what he says. He said, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We ought to rejoice every day, folks, that we have the completed, pure, and perfect word of God. Because we've not been left without instruction. We've not been left without a guide. We've not been left without information telling us what we need to do for Christ's sake. You know what the real problem is? It's not knowing what to do. It's doing it. It's so much easier to know the will of God than it is to do the will of God. And yet, you know, there's this idea, and it was always portrayed to me as a young man. I remember I have this thought that's just ingrained in my mind, and I think about it all the time, about how I was so mistaken because it was ingrained in my mind that finding the will of God was such a difficult thing. I remember we'd sit around campfires in the youth group there, and I was over the youth group, and we'd sing, hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and I have decided to follow Jesus. And there was always this kind of mystical thing about finding God's will for your life, His perfect plan for your life. Like every moment was planned out. Well, the Bible says it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know what? None of those youth leaders, none of those teachers was telling me that God's will was revealed in His Word. It was like somehow you found it through prayer and meditation and dedication. And when I came to understand the Word of God rightly divided, I want to tell you, it was a glorious thing to me to know that I knew what God's will was. The problem then was doing it. It's the reason I think they teach it so hard to find is nobody wants to do it anyway. They just want to talk about it. Because it's hard to do the will of God. It's hard to obey the Scriptures and to love people as God said to love and forgive one another and for husbands to love your wives. All of these folks, these are all good works. Works we're instructed to do by the Word of God. If you've never been saved, you may be trying to do all the works, but I can tell you this, they're of no value whatsoever. We're created in Christ Jesus some two good works, but don't ever let it be confused. And I'd be remiss if I stopped without saying this morning, the works that we've talked about here have nothing to do with salvation. Your salvation is believing that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that God, by His grace and His mercy, reconciled the world unto Himself by the death of His Son. You want to be saved? You believe those truths. You receive that gospel and you accept the free gift of salvation and God will save you. And when He saves you, then you can be about finding out about the work that God desires for you to do as His child, because He does desire it. And regardless of how much people want to resist and kick against that, that's what the book says. We've just read about 15 verses there that deal with labor, work, and foremost, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Would you stand me for prayer?